With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Second Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baala of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nahon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone, to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. This is not an unfamiliar passage to us that understand the regulative principle of worship. Yea, it is one of those passages to which we turn to show that, well, that the best intentions of men are not sufficient when it comes to worshiping the Lord, that we must worship Him according to His commandment. It does not say so in this passage, but it does say so in 1 Chronicles 15, the reason that Uzzah was put to death. David, as that prophetic commentary of that event says, that the Lord made a breach upon us because we sought Him not after the due order. What is due order? What does that mean? Simply, after His commandment. What did they do wrong that day? They put the ark on a cart, whereas the Lord had prescribed from the days of the inception of the ark, its original building and setting into service, that it should be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. Now that may seem like a very small detail to you. It may seem like a very small detail to me. It was a large enough detail that the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah because they placed it on a cart. I want you to notice that it was a new cart. I want you also to notice that there was singing. I want you also to notice that Uzzah stretched forth his hand out of a concern, what might even be called a right concern for the ark, that it should not topple over when the ox tripped or stumbled and the cart lurched to the side. Or it may have been that it wasn't lurching at all, and he just did that as a precaution. The Bible's not specific on that. But there are a few things that we know. That if the Levites had been carrying it, there would have been no cause for Uzzah to stretch forth his hand and unlawfully touch the ark. So, as we look at this, we see that there were a lot of good intentions surrounding what took place here. But the good intentions of men are never good enough. And this is an important point. Now, this doesn't mean we throw out our good intentions and our desire for righteousness and obedience. But we don't rest in those things. And we don't say we're right because we're well-intended. You say, Pastor, we don't really do that, do we? Every time you've answered the question when someone has accused you of something and you've said, I didn't mean to, that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, my intention was not according to my action. I had a good intention, therefore I ought to get a break. Let's keep in mind that we do want good intentions. This is not to throw out good intentions. It is to put them in their proper place. And so all of these activities that we see pertaining to the Ark of God and bringing it into Jerusalem, I mean, wasn't that a good intention in and of itself? To bring the ark into Jerusalem. It was. But when it comes to how we approach the Lord, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. Let us hear what the Lord would command us, and let us approach Him in that way, recognizing that we approach not because we have heard Him and have done so exactly as He has prescribed, but because that is the way of coming to Him. And He receives us then in the mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why did He not receive them? Why did He not receive Uzzah in that mediation in that day? Well, remember that at the beginning of eras, the Lord shows Himself very often more severe to set the tone and to set obedience in place for the rest of the era. This is an era of great expansion to the worship of God. This is an era when things will change. They will change dramatically. The Levites will stop carrying the ark altogether very soon. Not yet, but very soon. One last act of the Levites bringing the ark of God into Jerusalem is all that's left. And they will set it down, and it will travel no more. It will be lifted up only one more time upon the shoulders of the Levites and brought into the temple that Solomon built. And that by the command of the Lord. And if this seems that the Lord's being a stickler here, if it seems like that the Lord is being just too precise, if it seems like the Lord is being unfair to Uzzah and slays him for a good intention of steadying the ox cart, then we need to get our seamer fixed. Right? And we need to learn to think God's thoughts after him as he's revealed himself in his word. I say this not to be flippant, not to ride hard upon anyone's conscience, but simply as one who cares enough to speak the truth on these things. We often hear that maybe a few of us have coined this, there's only one evangelical sacrament, and that's sincerity, right? And we know the folly of that because we can never be sincere enough. And how does sincerity play itself out? What does the right heart want? The right heart wants the form that God has prescribed. That's what the definition of a right heart is. So, Uzzah dies. David then has a bad reaction to that. David's reaction was not repentance. David's reaction was fear. Not faith, but fear. Faith would have been what? What he said later. We didn't seek the Lord after the due order. See, that's the faithful response. His initial response is a fearful response. How can I go to worship the Lord at all? How can I bring the ark of God to me? Throwing up of the hands and saying, it's too much, I can't do it. That's a faithless response. And so we see David here not as a good example, but a bad example. Now, it is a good example that he does see that the Lord will judge his people when they misbehave before him. That judgment begins at the house of God. And that is a good thing that David sees. But David's use of that truth is then, I won't do anything. If I don't do anything, then I'll have nothing to be slain for. That's what I'll do. And you see the folly of that response as well. And so David then has that change of heart. He has a faithful response. There is a confession of the sin, and that goes as far as the sin did go, right? He says to the Levites, this is why the Lord made a breach upon us, because we didn't seek him after the due order. So now we're going to, he commands the Levites, and this is all in 1 Chronicles 15. He commands the Levites now, put the staves in the rings and carry the ark of God upon your shoulders, according to the commandment of God which he gave by his servant Moses, so that the Lord will not make another breach upon us, because he did so at the first, because we did not approach him after the due order. And so when we hear that we are just too precise in our pursuit of regulated worship and that's beyond what the Lord prescribes, we say it's not. We have these scripture passages that are very instructive to help us understand what it means when we talk about regulated worship. All right, so then with that restored confidence and restored conscience, David brings the Ark of the Lord into Jerusalem, this time upon the shoulders of the Levites with sacrifices. It is a great processional, and David himself is overjoyed. Overjoyed, not overjoyed excessively, just overjoyed in the colloquial use of that phrase. And what's important about it is that we see David behaving himself humbly before the Lord, even divesting himself of his kingly attire, which I believe is a testimony to the Lord's kingship over all. And so David shows himself as one of the base fellows before the Lord, perhaps humbled because of the original attempt to bring the Ark of God, and now rejoicing to the point of dancing and shouting and stripping himself down to his tunic, his t-shirt that started at his shoulders and went to his ankles. Tunic. And so David shows himself here a powerful worshiper of God, right? With his whole self. And of course, the contrast in the passage then is between David and his wife, Michal, Saul's daughter. So the ark of God is installed. We'll have to skip over Obed-Edom. We don't have time to cover that today. We'll do that another time. So Michal looks out the window and she sees David doing what he's doing, and it says that she despised him in her heart. Why would someone do that? Why would someone say, come into our church service, see us standing and singing psalms with our children arrayed here, maybe come in and look in through the glass there, and then despise us in their heart? Or maybe if we bring it a little bit more closely home, when we hear our neighbor singing maybe a little bit too loud, and we think to ourselves, you know, they're singing awfully loud. Why would we do that? Why did Michal do that with regard to David? It's obvious she didn't have the heart he did. It's obvious that she didn't have that worshiping heart that David did. She didn't have the humility that David did. She didn't have the devotion to God that David did. So David blesses the people, and he blessed them not only with the blessing of the king, a spiritual blessing, with the blessing of the prophet, but with the blessing of a king also. Here's a steak, right? And a bottle of wine, and something else. I don't remember what it was now, but there, let's see, what does it say? A cake of bread. So here's a loaf, here's a steak, and here's a bottle of wine. Y'all go to your homes, men and women, everybody got one, and, you know, rejoice. The ark of God has come home to Jerusalem. And then he returned to his own house to bless his own house. And by blessing here, most of our ancient divines would understand that as being, he went home after this great act of public worship, and he went home to seek some private worship with his family. And so coming into his house and expecting to find some like-minded rejoicing, Michal meets him at the door and says, what a shame you were to this family today. David was expecting that he might bless his house, that he might rejoice with them, that they might have family worship and continue on what they started on the streets of Jerusalem. But instead, he found what so many find, strife in his own house. A refusal to enter into the worship of God. A refusal to enter into the joy of bringing home the ark of God. And instead, a base act of jealousy. Oh my, what a fool you made of yourself today before the maidens of Israel. Of course, then David responds by reminding Michal of the Lord's favor upon him. Notice, it's the Lord's grace. The Lord chose me to succeed your father. It was right that we should make merry, that we should rejoice today, because the ark of God has come home. So instead of a blessing upon Michal, what happens to Michal? Although it doesn't come forth from David's mouth, the curse comes to pass, doesn't it? And so she is childless until the day of her death. No heart to worship the Lord with her husband. So then, children, listen to me carefully. When your parents call you to family worship, rejoice. Rejoice that you have a mother and father that care enough about your soul that they will read the Bible and pray with you and instruct you from the Word of God. Right? Remember that this is not a burden, but a blessing. And as that blessing was turned to cursing for Michal that day, let us not turn that blessing to a curse to ourselves by murmuring and by complaining when it's time for family worship. Children, do you hear? Recognize that your parents, when they want to read the Scriptures with you, that they're doing their God-given duty to you, and they are loving you more than anyone else would love you by teaching you the Word of God. That is indeed what love is, parents to children. Let's stand and continue praising God in this.